Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It is the Blitzkrieg broadcast. It is Monday night. This is the fourth day of March 2013. I'm so glad to have you here with me. Tonight I will be concluding, for now, the discussion on sun worship, sun gazing, and those that would to keep us from the light. From the pure, unadulterated light. Last week, I began the show by talking about the sad state of affairs that the European populations are currently in terms of reproductive health. It's saddening, it's frightening, and it should be a real wake-up call to people. I then tied the idea of diminishing numbers into how sun worship is related to reproductive worship as well. So basically the fertility cults had the sun as one of their main symbols as well, because it is providing us all with life, human or not, whatever race you are, is the primary source of energy for us. Sure, it might kill some things, say out in the desert, when there's not enough water, that sun will burn something. But it can also provide an amazing assortment of life. And a lot of life on it doesn't need a whole lot other than that sun energy. Whether it's in the basic form of just getting it right from the sun, like a scout on the rock, or if it is by consuming plants, or the carnivorous animals which consume animals which consumed plants. So it is very important to the cycles of life, that is for sure. And so is that darkness as well. That the plant sets is what allows for the cycles of life to continue. Hey, I hope I'm coming in all right. Check them over at renegadebroadcasting.com. Please tell me if the sounds are right. Like to know that I'm coming through loud and clear. So then after I through the decline of our numbers as Europeans and tied it into sun worship, I went back through time and how sun worship, and in particular sun gazing, was used by our ancestors. And it's right there in the text. It was really frowned upon by Jehovah, and still is, to be sure. And I will continue this discussion a little bit more, but first, I would like to show how perhaps some people out there are reacting to the kind of messages coming out from broadcasting and from other sources as well. I saw the headline today, or possibly yesterday. It says, "White people fear becoming U.S. minority," says Louis Farrakhan. Out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, this is the Detroit Free Press reporting, and it's a short little article here. "Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan says people are promoting birth control for black women because they fear becoming a minority in the United States." Farrakhan spoke Saturday at Fountain Street Church in Grand Rapids, invited by the Grand Rapids Community College Black Student Union. Can't have a white one, huh? He says white Americans will lose their majority by 2050 and says they've introduced birth control to black women because they don't want no more black babies. Oh, so Louis is speaking a bonnet to these people, of course, because they don't want no more black babies. Okay, so when we become a minority in 2050, can we have a white student union then, Louis? How about that? MLive.com reports Farrakhan says he opposes same relationships. He says he isn't homophobic and isn't afraid of people who chose a lifestyle that's different, but is afraid for them. The Chicago-based Farrakhan says woman's role is to stay at home and raise children with strong moral values. He also says he is anti-Semitic. That's how they ended the article. He also says he isn't anti-Semitic. And of course, coming out of Chicago. Really? Just go reference all of Mike's work regarding Chicago, and you will see that this is just more of the same crap from these agitators, people who are inciting violence in more ways than one. Did you know? I'm not saying that Farrakhan right now is inciting violence, but he is he's lying, that's for sure. People are promoting birth control for black women so that they don't reproduce. What about all of the birth control that is being promoted for white women? What about all the homosexuality that's being pushed upon us? What about the programs of welfare to keep our middle-class white women even having enough money to raise a family? Yes, we are declining very, very rapidly. And it's not necessarily that I fear becoming a U.S. minority, but rather I would like to take proactive steps to ensure that we do not. I'd like to read some of these ideas that could promote our people, our nation, and stop this flood of immigration, then you can go over to nationalprotectionism.com and read the manifesto that wrote and that we're getting out there to see if people, think that this is a violation, that I think that we can really move forward with this. So we are in something of a conflict here. Racial conflict? I'd say so. Just look at Obama in the White House and tell me that they're not trying to push this racial divide and ensure that the white person feels disenfranchised, potent, not important. And this concept of sonship ties directly into skin color as well, and racial conflict. So I'll get into that further into the show as well. I've got a song lined up here that's rather short, but I need to take care of a few things, and I will be right back to get into the topic at hand tonight more in depth. This is from A Clockwork Orange, actually, and it is Overture to the Sun. Already there, please visit renegadebroadcasting.com. You can chat with other people. Even if this show isn't live throughout the day, people are having conversations in there. And you will be able to see the lineup that we have for the week. Myself on Mondays, Wildcard Tuesday on Tuesdays, obviously. And tomorrow we'll be having David doing an astrology show, so please do tune in for that. And be sure to tune in to all the shows. Will on Wednesday, Mike on Thursday, Lou on Friday, Roundtable on Saturday, and David in Texas on Sunday. While you're over at RenegadeBroadcasting.com, you might notice that the site draws some inspiration from the sun. It seems like it's a very Luciferian theme, with those flames coming out from behind the host there. I love the sun, and if you tuned in last week, you would know that. Someone else who seemed to have drawn some inspiration from the sun would be Adolf Hitler, who said, if you want to shine like the sun, first you have to burn like it. Again, if you want to shine like sun, first you have to burn like it. Oh, just something to mention here. The weekday, as I have it lined up over at Renegade Broadcasting, the weekdays, is how I see things should be or were intended to be, with Monday being one day, Mon, one, Tuesday being, well, Tuesday, the second, Wednesday, the third day, Thursday's fourth day, Friday is five day, Saturday, Saturn's day, the sixth planet is the sixth day, and then Sunday is the seventh day. And that is why we have a weekend. It ends our week. But calendars today, you will see that the S and the S, the Saturday and the Sunday, are split up. The week begins on Sunday and ends on Saturday. I wonder who did that. It's pretty obvious if you think about it. The people who worship on the Sabbath, on Saturday. Saturn's day, and it really must do something to our psychological enslavement, I'd say, to view the week in this way, because we don't even have contiguous days on the calendar when we can rest. Right there in the middle of the week is just the work week, and Saturday and Sunday, who should be joined together, are acting as bookends. As I said, just working with the numbers, it should be obvious that Monday is the first day and Tuesday is the second day. These things are actually important. I know some of you might not think that they have too much relevance, but all of the things that I discuss, I think, are rather important, even if you don't realize it yet. Some of you might be thinking, why is he talking about, you know, sun worship, Norse mythology? Is this relevant to our current situation? Yes, I really think it is. Speaking of Norse, the weekdays are drawing their inspiration from Norse mythology. Well, Monday is the moon's day. Then you go to Tuesday, and two, T-I-E-W, would be equivalent to Tyr, who was pretty much just means God, but he, I think, was a god of kind of law and order and things like that, and I think an expert swordsman. And, of course, T-Y-R, which is his name, should make people think of tyrant. So that's kind of interesting. Wednesday was, or is, Woden's day. And Thursday is Thor's day, and Friday would be Frigga's day, or possibly Freyja's day, both goddesses. Free day, you get released and are free on Frigga's day there to enjoy Saturn's day and Sunday. So the week calendar is drawing its inspiration from the solar system, as well as Norse mythology, in case any of you out there didn't know. And so Sunday, yes, that is the day when Christians worship the Son of God. And I covered this, of course, last week, but there is a lot more to be said concerning the connections between Christianity and sun worship. So I will get into a little bit of reading here, and this is from amazingdiscoveries.org. The pagan system of sun worship had three main aspects: the Father, Mother, and the Sun. In ancient Chaldean times, these were the god Bel or Merodach, Ninus or Ninus, which is sun in backwards. Ninus the Sun, who was also worshipped as Tammuz, which later became Thomas, and the female goddess Rhea, who was also worshipped as Ishtar, Astarte, or Beltis. She was also referred to as the Queen of Heaven and the Wrath Subduer. Mary has received these same names in Catholicism. Mother and child worship was the basis of the ancient religions. In the various religions of the world, the same system of worship was perpetuated under different names. In Egypt, the mother and child were worshipped as Isis and Osiris or Horus. In India, as Isi and Iswara. In China and Japan, as the mother goddess Xingmu with child. In Greece, as Ceres or Irene and Plutus. In Rome, as Fortuna and Jupiter. Pure, or Venus and Adonis. These are, as an aside, these are somewhat strange names. They're close to ones I know. Like, do they mean Adonis instead of Adonis? Okay, carrying on. Or Venus and Adonis, and in Scandinavia as Frigga and Balder. The mother and child were worshipped in Babylon as Ishtar and Tammuz, and in Phoenicia as Astaroth and Baal. Moreover, the child was worshipped as both husband and son of the mother goddess. The male component is a counterfeit of Jesus Christ. The biblical names used for Jesus were also used for the child in ancient times. Zoroaster was referred to as the seed. Mithra, the Persian sun god, was referred to as the savior. Dionysus as the sin bearer. Bacchus as the branch. Vishnu as the victim man. And Osiris as the king of kings. The legend of Nimrod. The system of worship has its origin in the legend of Nimrod and his wife Semiramis. Nimrod, the great-grandson of Noah, rebelled against God, like his father Cush. Eventually, Nimrod was put to death for his evil deeds, and according to the ancient patriarchal system, parts of his body were sent to various cities as a warning. Huh, that reminds me of the death of Osiris. Moving on. His wife Semiramis fled, but spread the rumor that he had ascended to heaven, where he had become one with the sun. When Semiramis later gave birth to a son, she claimed it was the reincarnation of her deified husband, and that he had returned to save the human race. She was later deified as the mother of the sun, and it was supposed she had ascended into heaven as the queen of heaven. In various cultures throughout history and around the world, the same basic deities have been worshipped under different names. So, of course, Semiramis, is Mary. And the sun god is born out of the sea. And I'll get into this a little bit more in a bit. Mary, M-A-R, Mar meaning ocean, the sea, waters. Okay. Moving onward, let's talk about the symbols and how paganism and Catholicism share many of the same symbols. This is again from amazingdiscoveries.org. Virtually all symbols of sun worship exist in present-day Roman Catholic cathedrals. St. Peter's in Rome has one of the greatest collections of pagan symbols in the world. The main altar at St. Peter's, Bernini's Canopy, has the symbol of the serpent, sun and moon worship, and male and female forms of sun rays. The altar has Pope Joan, the only female pope in history, depicted in pains of childbirth, representing the birth of the sun god. Other symbols of sun worship found in Catholicism include the solar wheel dating back to the time of the Chaldeans. It is found on virtually all cathedrals today. The square of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome consists of the largest solar wheel in the world. The square is circular, and the wheel has 8 spokes. Moreover, in St. Peter's Square, there is a wheel within a wheel, which is a counterfeit of the mobile throne of God, as described by the prophet Ezekiel. As a counterfeit, it represents the throne of the dragon, who gives the beast his seat and great authority. In the center of the square is an obelisk, a phallic symbol dedicated to the worship of the sun. The Vatican is built on the hill where the Temple of Janus, and if you reverse Janus, it is Sun, A-J, Jah, Sun. Okay. So, again, the Vatican is built on the hill where the Temple of Janus, the sun god, stood. Alongside St. John's Lateran, which is the church where the Pope is crowned and where he speaks infallibly, is the obelisk of Thutmose III, which was dedicated to Re Harati, the sun god. Many other symbols of sun worship are used in Catholicism, such as halos, pagan crosses, lightning bolts, hand signals from sun worship cults, tridents, the fleur de lis, and sexagesimal triangles with the eye of Horus. Coptic shells, which in paganism served as a symbol of the cosmos, were also used, along with astrological signs. Globes serve as symbols of rulership of the universe, and pagan gods carried the globe. The largest globe in the world is on top of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. The Catholic Church also uses sacred heart symbols, sacred animal symbols, and fertility symbols such as pine cones. Pagan deities wore the pine cone on their crozier. I'm not saying that correctly, I don't think. Crozier, just as the popes do today. Catholics also use prayer beads for repetitive prayers, even though the Bible admonishes, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And that is Matthew 6:7. That is very interesting. And a lot I could have added there, but as usual, I have a lot of material to get through tonight. Not all of it is readings, but I have one more here from Amazing Discoveries, and then I will be moving on here. This is the Mother Sun Worship, or the Mother Sun Worship System. The pagan system of sun worship had... Didn't I just read this? Okay. I'll try to find the other article I was going to read from in just a second. Okay. You know what? I'm going to go to a song briefly here. I just cut it apart. Okay, actually, you know what? I've got to refresh that anyway. So I'm going to continue on with this reading as I found the article I wanted. The Babylonian system of worship has essentially been maintained to this day. The ancient Chaldeans worshipped a pantheon of male and female gods representing the sun god. Sun worship is often seen as primitive, but is in fact a sophisticated, awe-inspiring system of worship that appeals to the senses and captivates the mind with its grandiose ceremonies. This system of worship has been perpetuated throughout generations, and in our time forms the basis of earth religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Catholicism. In the mysteries of Catholicism, sun worship reaches its highest form. The names of the gods have changed, but the system of worship is the same. Here are some of the doctrines of sun worship. As the sun god, Nimrod, plunged into the waters of the Euphrates River, so the reincarnated sun plunged into the waters of the womb to be worshipped as the Savior. Also, let's consider baptism in the water. That's an aside from me. Moving on, the cycle of the sun represents the sun rising, Brahma, the sun at the meridian, Shiva, and the sun setting, Vishnu. At night, the sun rests in the womb of the ocean in the darkness of the underworld, representing the death and suffering of the sun god. As god of the ocean, Poseidon, or Neptune, he was also worshipped as the fish god Dagon, or Dagon. Because he goes into the ocean, the day is gone, who had plunged into the waters of the womb to be reborn. The most prominent form of worship in Babylon was dedicated to Dagon, later known as Ichthys, or the fish. There are many links between ancient sun worship and Catholicism. In Chaldean or Babylonian times, the head of the church was the representative of the god Dagon. He was also considered to be infallible and was addressed as Your Holiness. Nations subdued by Babylon had to kiss the ring and slipper of the Babylonian god king. Both the Dalai Lama and the Pope claim these same powers and the same titles to this day. Moreover, the vestments of paganism, the fish mitre, and robes of the priests of Dagon are worn by the Catholic bishops and cardinals and by the Pope. So, am I saying that these things are evil and that our world leaders are actually these wicked pagans from ancient times? Not necessarily. I will get into that a bit more later in the broadcast, what is going on, and address some of the conspiracy culture that exposes the satanic sun worship and the plans of the wicked Illuminati, the Luciferians. But now I will go to a snippet of a song. This is from Pink Floyd, and it is Coming to Life.
Where were you when I was born and broken, while the days slip by from my window watching? And where were you when I was hurt and I was helpless? 'Cause the things you say and the things you do surround me, while you were hanging yourself on someone else's world, dying to believe in what you heard. I was staring straight into the shining sun.
You catch those lyrics there. It ended with staring straight into the shining sun. I think a lot of artists coded this into their work. But you have to be thinking critically in order to hear it or see it. And most people will just take it as a metaphor. And I'm not saying that all songs that have to do with staring at the sun are even good. U2 has an awful, awful song about staring at the sun. It's just really homoerotic. And I think that perhaps they're not necessarily talking about the physical sun, but something else. Now, I've brought up on previous shows when I used to deal with an adolescent in the alternative media that a sun is an anagram for anus. And if we take in light from our eyes or through the top of the head, well, at the other end of our bodies is, well, the anus. And there is another part of a song that I cut apart in order to show what I'm talking about here. This is the Smiths' Hand in Glove. Listen closely. Yes, yes. Did you catch that? The sun shines out of our behinds. That is Morrissey singing that there. So that is the rainbow that we have given to us today. Again, anus is an anagram for a sun. Interestingly, if you mix all the colors of the rainbow in painting, you get a really dark kind of brown. Close to black. But if you're to mix all the colors with light, you get white light. Do you get what I'm saying? If you're going to be combining wavelengths of light, the whole spectrum, you get white light. But if you're using paints, you get a really dark brown. And so when we see this rainbow being used for homosexuality, this is really just one of the corruptions that we're seeing today. And I will talk about more of the corruptions of sun symbols in a little bit. First, I'd like to read some Plato quickly, and then discuss a few other things. Plato said, and this is from the Republic, when the soul is firmly fixed on the domain where truth and reality shine resplendent, it apprehends and knows them and appears to possess reason. But when it inclines to that region which is mingled with darkness, the world of becoming and passing away, it opines only and its degree, excuse me, it opines only and its edge is blunted. And it shifts its opinions hither and thither, and again seems as if it lacked reason. Don't know where I got degree from. He also says, the sun not only furnishes to visible the power of visibility, but it also provides for their generation and growth and nurture through it is not itself. Wow, bad reading. I'm gonna try that one more time here. The sun not only furnishes to visible the power of visibility, but it also provides for their generation and growth and nurture, though it is not itself generation. In like manner, then, the objects of knowledge not only receive from the presence of the good their being known, but their very existence and essence is derived to them from it. Though the good, which I think means the light, itself is not essence, but still transcends essence in dignity and surpassing power. So, yes, this is primitive. Sun worship is primitive, even though some of the most intelligent people on the planet revered the sun. And some of the most intelligent people on the planet today still do. Because it just makes sense. Bishop Alexander Hyslop said, in the mythology of the primitive world, the serpent is universally the symbol of the sun. The serpent was universally represented by the sun symbol, the circle or disc. And you see the Ouroboros, the serpent eating its own tail, that could very well be representing the sun as it chases itself, at least from our perspective, traces through pretty much the same arcs day after day, although they do change, and the sun sets lower and lower on the horizon, and then it is reborn and begins to increase its arcs. The arc, right? The arc of the covenant, and then there's the Noah's Ark. It's often represented with the rainbow, which is basically what comes after the flood and all those days of and nights of rain. And, of course, the rainbow itself is made of arcs. So, they knew that the sun and the serpent were closely intertwined, if not always representing the same thing. And the serpent is most definitely a sun worshiper. Those cold-blooded reptiles. The ancient Pueblo in the southwestern part of the United States, who were thriving around the time of the Roman Empire and possibly created some of their very, very interesting cliff cities and mesas about 1000 BC in the United States. But they are known as the Anasazi, which means actually enemy ancestor. I forget what language that's in. I forget the language. Anasazi, it's not their own. They actually worshipped the sun, fire, and serpents for fertility and agriculture. If you rearrange Anasazi, interestingly enough, you get as a Nazi. And again, that word means enemy ancestor. Very interesting. So, after the idea that the sun should be adored, that we should look upon it, was beat out of people, was killed in people, or else they were themselves killed, then we saw the Dark Ages come upon us. Oh, thank you, Christendom. Thank you for bringing the good news. Thank you, thank you. The light of God is here. And now we enter the Dark Ages, when sun worshiping is not present, at least in the recorded history that we really have, although I'm sure it survived with many of our ancestors. Some posit that there was actually a mini ice age during that period in Europe, and perhaps the sun just wasn't as present for these people, and they looked toward other gods, let's say, lesser gods. People no longer knew the secrets of the light body. They were left in the dark about the true nature of being, the powers inherent in the soul, the S-O-U-L and the S-O-L. They are connected. We have a spark of divinity in each one of us, and it is our responsibility to ourselves, to our communities, to our nations, and to our posterity, to future generations, that we, get this spark to burn and become a raging inferno. As Adolf Hitler said, if you want to shine like sun, first you have to burn like it. So take that spark, kindle it, fan the flames, and become a bright, shining, brilliant being. I think it is of utmost importance that each of us takes this task very seriously. Because when we are brilliant, when we shine like the sun, others can bask in our glow, yes. Perhaps some will try to feed off of you. But remember, vampires are afraid of the sun. And they operate in the darkness. But it will teach others how to do the same. And when you are shining like the sun, you have so much to give. Shine your light upon humanity. All right, so let's move on a little bit to the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, which deal with this kind of transformation. This was actually given to me, or I borrowed it, from somebody who had gotten it from somebody else in a bar. Somebody had just given this to my friend in a bar and said that, you know, they should read this. It was a printout version of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth from, I think it was Crystal Links. So, guys, this is a great idea. If you think that some text is important enough to print out and share with people, please do so. Man is in the process of changing to forms that are not of this world. Grows he in time to the formless, a plane on the cycle above. Know ye must become formless before ye are one with the light. A long time ago, I, in my childhood, lay neath the stars on long buried Atlantis, dreaming of mysteries far above men. Then in my heart grew there a great longing to conquer the pathway that led to the stars. Year after year I sought after wisdom, seeking new knowledge, following the way, until at last my soul, in great travail, broke from its bondage of earthman. Free from the body I flashed through the night. Unlocked at last for me was the star space. Free was I from the bondage of night. Now to the end of space sought I wisdom, far beyond knowledge of finite man. Sounds a lot like what David was speaking of with the God-man and how it connects to Woden, the Wanderer. Another quote here from the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. And this is Thoth is where we get the word thought. He's the ibis-headed god. And the ibis, or perhaps it's ibis, is a bird. He was a bird brain. Now we have that as a very negative thing. And they're actually ibises. I believe that's how it's said. Ibises around where I live right now. They're very interesting little birds. Actually, not too little. Long legs, long beaks. They're a little compared to some of the ducks around here, though, that's for sure. Another quote. List ye, my children, follow my teaching. Be ye ever seeker of light. Shine in the world of men all around thee, a light on the path that shall shine among them. Follow ye and learn of my magic. Know that all force is thine if thou wilt. Fear not the path that leads thee to knowledge, but rather shun ye the dark road. The dark path. The dirt road path. Moving on. Light is thine, O man, for the taking. Cast off the fetters, and thou shalt be free. Know ye that thy soul is living in bondage, fettered by fears that hold ye in thrall. Open thy eyes and see the great sunlight. Be not afraid, for all is thine own. And with that, I'm going to go to another song. Here is The Stranglers with Always the Sun.
Who gets to guys are taking your money. Your mother said you should bet.
Welcome back to the Blitzkrieg broadcast. Talking about sun worship through the ages, I'm concluding this this topic for the time being. And I guess we can talk about what's going on with the sun today for a little bit. The sun seems to be fairly active these days, but people have been using its image in a whole number of ways. You might see a reference to this in the conspiracy culture. Oh man, it's the Illuminati. Look at all the sun symbols. It's just great marketing because it appeals to our inner desire to look at the sun and receive enlightenment from its rays. So it is smart marketing, that's for sure. Just a few names here. I'm going to look through this some site, trickedbythelight.com. Yes, false light can be very tricky. Now, somebody brought up in the chat, light has lie right in there. And yes, there are false lights. And that's why you should avoid them and go right to the source, the sun. All right, Sun Trust, Sun Smart. Sun Trance, Sun Kissed, Sun Direct, Sun Traveler. I don't know some of these. Snapple uses the sun there, right? Because tea used to be brewed right out in the sun. I had one of those when I was growing up. You put this big pot out in the sun with tea in it, and it brews it for you. It's very good. Let's see. We've got Helion. Pack Sun. Survivor uses the sun symbolism in their logo sometimes. Body Glove uses a yellow circle there. Tide. The Shell logo is Rising Sun. Gulf. Burger King. Frito-Lay. Dole. Let's see. Mobile has something of a sun symbol. Sunkissed, of course. Crush. Sun Studio. Pine Soul. BP. Somebody saying Nickelodeon is. I could see that. Yeah. Of course, there is the Obama symbol, which is fairly interesting when you consider that Obama is said to look like Akhenaten. And actually does a bit. Lou is claiming that he first is the one to posit that the Obama Akhenaten claim. And that he did it on a Michael Tsarian forum, and then Michael Tsarian took it, and then from there Freeman took it and kind of claimed ownership over that one. But Akhenaten seems to have been a pharaoh who tried to bring his people back together by doing away with some of the lesser gods that they were worshiping and, well, getting them to look at the sun for a source of a unified god force in our solar system. So yes, it's great marketing. And the Obama sun is, there's a lot that can be said about it, but it seems to have rivers of blood coming from it, and it could be representing their notion that they have a continuously rising sun for them and their communist goals. As I said, I particularly like the sunset as opposed to the rising sun. Usually the rising sun, well, it makes you wake up, right? It wakes you up like the rooster, you know, gives you that wake-up call. And what we're always told in the truth movement, you know, wake up. The rooster, in Spanish, it could be known as pollo, P-O-L-L-O, a pollo, Apollo. I know it'd be said un pollo, but a pollo says Apollo, and Apollo was, of course, seen as a solar deity. And the egg of a chicken can also be seen as a sun symbol with that yolk, the golden yolk in the center, representing the sun. And that egg can also represent our heads. We actually do have egg heads. They're shaped a lot like an egg. There's a lot to this. Actually, if you take the Earth and the Moon and you put, let's say, just visually as circles, you take the Earth, put it on the bottom, and then the Moon right above it, and then trace, make a kind of an egg shape around it, you'll see it's a perfect egg there that it forms. You'd have to see the diagram for that one, I think. Hopefully you get what I'm saying. So today, yes, we have many things representing the sun. Raisin Bran, you know, the two scoops from the sun there. Car companies. You've got Chrysler, Bentley, Mini, Harley-Davidson, Aston Martin, and likely many more, or some more. They all have winged sun disks as their logo. And of course, this makes sense. The chariot of the gods, right? The sun was being pulled around in his chariot by horses, usually. Apollo being drawn across the sky in his chariot. And these cars today are representing our chariots, our chariots. Also, we have technology often using the sun symbol, sun microsystems in particular, right? You've got it's right there in the name. And what is what are these fiber optic cables doing connecting us at light speed? Well, it's using light to transmit information. This is a very interesting age in which we live. And we're using this damn Luciferian internet. Newspapers. Newspapers often use sun in their name. You can probably think of a few yourself. All right. Many people will say this is Masonically inspired. And to a certain degree, they're probably right. Ma-sun. Mason. Break it apart. Ma-sun. And recall what I said about the mother-sun worship. That is the basis for many ancient and still existing religious structures. Ma-sun could also be said as May sun, right? And in May, the sun does return quite in force to our world. It brings those May flowers, right? And of course, you begin May with May Day and the May pole. Makes you think of the May sun and the widow's sun, right? That's something that a lot of people know about these days. Masons might construct temples with a dome at the top. And in the middle of that dome, they will have the oculus, which lets the light of the sun shine in. The oculus, right there, the first five letters, O-C-C-U-L, should make you think of the occult, because the occult means that which has been hidden. And what has really been hidden from us has always been right there in front of our eyes. So let us get some ocular, let us use the oculus of the occult to find out what is going on here. Down there in Washington, you have Washington's Monument, which is an obelisk, right? And there was also an obelisk right there in Heliopolis, which was pretty much the city of the sun. And I've seen some people out there claiming that the Illuminati is behind our power lines, because they're using basically these structures kind of form the shape of obelisks. In some way, it would make sense that though these were once symbols for solar worship, now they're carrying our power. So power companies obviously would like to use, or oil companies would like to use, the symbol of the sun, because they are getting in your way of harnessing that sun energy for yourself. So what often has happened is that a number of different people have stepped in front of the sun and said that they are the Son of God, or that they are representing the words of the sun, or that they can provide you with sun energy. Speaking of Washington and his obelisk, down there in Washington as well, you know, Washington, D.C., Washington Dick, with George Washington's big dick sticking up there. You also have in the Capitol building the apotheosis of Washington, which has Washington right there up on that dome riding on a rainbow with a lot of goddesses around him. And that is supposed to symbolize Washington's ascent to the heavens to become a deified man, kind of like what happens to Hercules after his death. So, yes, there have been a lot of people in the past who have known about and encoded sun worship into their art, into their religions, into their writing, into their philosophy. But I would say that not all of it has been to our detriment. I think sometimes people really are seeking to help spread enlightenment to this world. And not all of it has been the gay rainbow conspiracy or the rainbow coalition or the rainbow country of South Africa, right, where there's no white in the rainbow. That's for sure. So we have to be always aware that they are going to pervert the pure and turn it against us. They are going to take our symbols, make us scared of them, get us frightened of the sun. And this is what a lot of people, of course, in the conspiracy movement have done. In particular, we have William Cooper. William Cooper, who talked about sun worship at length in Mystery Babylon. And he was one of these Christian conspiracists or Christian conspiracy theorists, rather, who should be highly suspect to most people at this point. But that leads me into a little essay I wanted to read a part of here that just shows how much they are trying to get in our way of really giving the proper respect to the sun and gaining information from it. So if fiber optic cables can convey information, of course the sun can as well. So they want to cut off our connection to that divine source. And this article, which is on Bibliotheca Palladius, I don't know what the hell that says, .net, it starts with the two Babylons. And you know who talks a lot about Babylon, how evil and wicked it was? The Jews. Okay. The sun has ever been at the center of false religion. The ancient mystery religions venerated the sun, the solar disk as deity. The Greeks honored Apollo as the child of the sun. The Romans paid homage to Mithra, the sun god. These pagan philosophies form the basis for the worship of the Illuminati and indicate the importance of the sun as a symbol of satanic deity. In reality, in worshiping the sun, the ancients were worshiping Satan. G.H. Pember, in a scholarly work on the mysteries, Earth's Earliest Ages, affirms this fact when he states, "There is little doubt that the culmination of the mysteries was the worship of Satan himself." Now today, the Masons, as did the apostate Jewish elders and priests in the days of Ezekiel, continue to worship Satan the sun god, also called Lucifer or Baal by other names. The name of their great god, Jabalon, which is revealed to Masons in the higher degrees, is a synonym for the solar deity. Two of the three symbols in the name, Ba and Lun, mean Baal-on. Babalon. Both of which represent sun and fire gods. That is why, in the authoritative guide, Gods of the Lodge, I don't know if that's written correctly, Reginald Haupt reports that in the Lodge, all the movements by the consecrating officers of the Masonic Lodge or chapter follow the course of the sun. The master and the wardens enter and leave their chairs as the sun returns to the east and goes forth therefrom. Most processional occasions are governed by these principles of what is known as circumambulation. This ritual came from the ancient pagan rites of the Egyptians and from the worship of their sun god and of the sun itself. Okay, so not all of this information is incorrect, but the way that they are presenting it is somewhat ridiculous and very biased. In honoring and worshiping the sun in their rituals, Freemasonry and Illuminism defy God. Ooh. Ooh. The Bible's Job displayed great wisdom by uttering these words concerning God's thoughts concerning worship of the sun and the heavens. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath secretly been enticed, this also was an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God who is above. So he's saying that you shouldn't appreciate the moon or the sun or be enticed to look at them, because this is denying Jehovah. Job's an idiot. Go get a job, Job. The swastika represents the sun. The Nazi swastika is a representation of the sun, but the Nazis simply borrowed the symbol from the ancient religions, including the Hindus of India, the Shintoists of Japan, and a number of Native American Indian tribes. Even today, in temples and shrines throughout Asia, you will find the swastika painted on walls, on totem poles, and over altars. Until Hitler and the Nazis gave the sign a bad reputation. No, they didn't. The Masons also universally used the sun sign. And today, the symbol of circle, particularly that of the point within the circle, is a prominent feature of Masonic theology. So let's talk about this circumpunct. The article continues. The point within the circle. According to Mackey's Masonic Encyclopedia, the hidden, true meaning of this symbol, the point inside the circle, is far different than what the everyday Masonic brother is told. In reality, its meaning is yet another proof that Masonry is a sex cult. Wait, they've got a lot of guys in there. You can't have sex with guys. Literally, you can't have sexual relations with other guys because, well, that's not sex, because sex implies a procreative act. Moving on. Mackey says the esoteric explanation is that the point within the circle is the male phallus, or penis, and the circle is the female yoni, or vagina. Here, says Mackey, is a symbol of fecundity expressed by the male generative principle. So, you know what? The Masons, I'm sure, do have lots of sex symbolism. I wouldn't call it necessarily a sex cult. It's going a little far. And the circumpunct very well may be a sex symbol. Why is that a bad thing? Well, it's because these pederastic priests don't think sex is a good thing. They think reproduction of our people especially is a very evil thing. That is why they force the women who want to be close to God to never have children, to give up their natural inclinations of having sexual relations. That is why they require that their priests not have sexual relations with women. Little boys, that's okay. That's allowed, you know, probably in the Talmud somewhere. But having actual, real, natural sexual relations, that is evil, that is satanic, and you Luciferians are going to be killed in an Inquisition if you keep this up. Ooh, let's move on. The sign of the Mafia, the Illuminati, and of Druids. According to Dr. Kathy Burns, in Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star, the point within the circle is the sign of the infamous Mafia, or Cosa Nostra, rather than the Black Hand, as many believe. But the real shocker is the importance given this sign by Adam Weishaupt and the Order of the Illuminati. Burns explains that because Illuminism was so determined to keep the true nature of the order under wraps, its founder, Weishaupt, ordered that the actual words Illuminati and Illuminism never be used in correspondence. Instead, they were to be replaced by the astrological symbol for the sun, that is, the circle with a dot in the middle. Circle with a dot in the middle, that's freaking evil if you ask me. Burns also gives evidence that the point within the circle was used by the Druids of Britain, whose stone temples were circular with a single stone erected in the center. They believed this design conferred magical powers. Oh, by the way, going back to the Masons for a second, the girls of Masons can join, I think it's the Rainbow Order or something along those lines. And yes, the women are in the Order of the Eastern Star. I believe that's what it's called. And the star to the east, where the sun rises, is not a star at all, but rather Venus, that morning star which is often associated with Lucifer because it is what pretty much ushers in the ascent of the sun. Because Venus is so close to the sun, we see it when the sun is about to rise and when it is setting. Moving on with this expose of the Illuminati and their sun worship, flower power and magic circles. The daisy flower, the marigold, and the sunflower also are indicative of the sun as deity, and so traditionally adherents of the mystery religions, as well as Hindus, Zoroastrians, and others, utilize these symbols. Adam Weishaupt, founder in 1776 of the Order of the Illuminati, come on, spell correctly. Maybe it was originally Illuminati. Encouraged flower power as a symbol, and it was taken up by New Age hippies in the 60s. The symbol of the circle is, for the Illuminati, sort of a pared-down basic sun sign. That is why the circle is used so frequently and in a score of configurations within Masonic and other secret society networks. It is also a staple of witchcraft and Satan worship. Bill Schneblin, author of many books unmasking Freemasonry, witchcraft, and the occult, was himself formerly a Mason as well as a male witch. He has described the witch's temple as follows. In witchcraft, the temple is frequently not a building, but rather a sacred magic circle laid down on the floor of a room with great ceremony. It's a sacred space of the Wicca and serves the same function as a temple does to the Masons. Okay, just going to finish this up real quickly. I'm just taking some pieces of their article, which is way too long to begin with. Gods or men? Is there a concerted plot to flood our consciousness with images that build world leaders into Mount Olympian man-gods, mythological giants on Earth? Internet sites Free Press International and Rents.com caught on to this recent trend and published a number of photographs that seem to confirm this bizarre plot. So they go on and show all these people with basically sun signs behind them, or the sun is shining in some way. Yes, they use this all the time. Of course, it is marketing. Free Press International, an alternative news website, wrote, these are just a few of the many photographs mainstream media has been deliberately releasing to the public, showing our world leaders with halos. I'd say with the shape of our world is in right now, they should have used horns instead of halos. Most of these pictures are coming from Associated Press and Reuters. Surely the scriptures were right on when they warned that the devil himself often comes disguised as an angel of light. These friggin' idiots. I think that they know, a lot of these people know exactly what they are doing. They are obscuring the real regenerative power in our solar system. The thing that connects us to the divine, the thing that can empower us. And sure, they're going to use this against us by making it seem as though their people are the enlightened ones. So the conspiracy is a little bit different than they are making it out to be. Though some of the things that are being put forth in this conspiracy movement do have a basis in reality. It's just the way that it's being presented, especially when they're using all of this ridiculous, over-the-top music, you know, like clubs to death from The Matrix. It's retarded. So what they're doing is retarding us, getting us to a state of fear where, because they're playing this scary music and showing us symbols of the sun and serpents, we're like, oh my God, and going against our instincts, going against what any child could tell us is utterly stupid, or should be able to tell us. Ask a child, is the sun evil? No, it's not evil. Yet ask somebody who's been studying conspiracy theory for a few months or a few years about, light bringers and Luciferians, and they will tell you that is the most evil group on this planet. They are the ones in control of it all. And if you even mention Jews, well, you're an evil Nazi and probably a Luciferian. So we need to get back to God, and we've turned our backs on God for too long, and Yahweh will save us from the iniquity of these unrighteous men. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great route to go, sure. All right. I have a little bit more music to play here. And I will be back in just a few minutes. This is Jethro Tull, Look Into the Sun.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the Blitzkrieg broadcast. Tonight I am discussing sun worship and related topics. I will be discussing the racial component in a little bit, but first I wanted to read some more Plato. Imagine prisoners who have been chained since their childhood deep inside a cave. Not only are their limbs immobilized by the chains, their heads are chained as well, so their gaze is fixed on a wall. Behind the prisoners is an enormous fire, and between the fire and the prisoners is a raised walkway, along which statues of various animals, plants, and other things are carried by people. The statues cast shadows on the wall, and the prisoners watch these shadows. When one of the statue carriers speaks, an echo against the wall causes the prisoners to believe that the words come from the shadows. This makes me think of television today. The prisoners engage in what appears to us to be a game, naming the shapes as they come by. This, however, is the only reality that they know, even though they are seeing merely shadows of images. They are thus conditioned to judge the quality of one another by their skill in quickly naming the shapes and dislike those who begin to play poorly. Suppose a prisoner is released and compelled to stand up and turn around. At that moment, his eyes will be blinded by the sunlight coming into the cave from its entrance, and the shapes passing will appear less real than their shadows. The last object he would be able to see is the sun, which in time he would learn to see as that object which provides the season and the courses of the year, presides over all things in the visible region, and in some way the cause of all these things that he has seen. Once enlightened, so to speak, the freed prisoner would not want to return to the cave to free his fellow bondsmen, but would be compelled to do so. Another problem lies in the other prisoners not wanting to be freed. Descending back into the cave would require that the freed prisoner's eyes adjust again, and for a time, he would be one of the ones identifying shapes on the wall. His eyes would be swamped by the darkness and would take time to become acclimated. Therefore, he would not be able to identify shapes on the wall as well as the other prisoners, making it seem as if being taken to the surface completely ruined his eyesight. Very interesting. Plato actually commented upon this last part he was writing there. After returning from divine contemplation to the petty miseries of men, one is apt to cut a sorry figure if, while still blinking through the gloom, and before he has become sufficiently accustomed to the environing darkness, he is compelled in courtrooms or elsewhere to contend about the shadows of justice or the images that cast the shadows, and to wrangle and debate about the notions of these things in the minds of those who have never seen justice itself. So basically, he's talking about the plight of one who has seen the face of divinity, let us say, and then tries to come back to those who are still watching their boob tubes or whatnot and have debates with them or conversations with them, because it is inane. It is hard to even deal in those realms because they are so dense and dark. Plato's cave, a very interesting allegory to study. A quick connection I wanted to make with caves in particular is the notion that Jews actually come from cavemen or Neanderthals. Someone had recommended to me that I watch the movie Holes by Disney, starring Shia LaBeouf. And in that movie, which is the biggest multicultural promotion I've seen in a long time, because I don't really watch much of this crap, and also race mixing as well in the backstory that they have in Holes. You have these children being sent away to a prison camp. Shia LaBeouf's character had accidentally come upon some shoes which had been stolen, so he's sent away to do hard labor digging holes in the desert. And the reason that this was recommended to me is because it reminded somebody of the discussion I had with Sinead about the troubled teen industry, as it's called. But in this movie, the Jewish Shia LaBeouf is called Caveman by the little black children who are supposed to seem so cool. They all take on nicknames, and he becomes Caveman. Now, this is particularly interesting to me, not just because of the Neanderthal hypothesis and Plato's cave, but also because the Essenes lived in caves at the time of the Roman Empire. So you had this great flourishing civilized society with all this running water and marvels. And then you have these Essenes up in a cave renouncing all of the wicked ways that they saw in the Romans. Not saying that the Romans were you know, the best people ever. Actually, I believe that what they did to the Celts was an utter atrocity, and that the Celts held lots of wisdom and high technology as well. But the caveman living alongside such a high civilization. And the Essenes are where most of the New Testament came from, or that is what was adopted, the Essene philosophy, to then give to the white people of Rome to ruin their minds. And if you go even further back, it seems that there were incredibly high civilizations right there in Europe. Although Wikipedia claims that this is a complete hoax, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is far, far larger than the Great Pyramid of Giza. And you can understand why the Jews in control of Wikipedia would not want this information going out, because it ruins so many notions or so many historical facts that we've come to believe. And so if 12,000 BC, there were people building pyramids in Europe far greater than the Pyramid of Giza, which was thought to be the largest man-made structure right there, that means that they were also living right side by side with the supposed cavemen at the time, right? Because at around that time is when the Cave of Lascaux was said to have had that painting, the primitive painting of the hunt going on there. So perhaps we have had these cave trolls living alongside high civilizations for quite some time. And they likely would like to take people from these high civilizations and then put them in the cave, enslave them in the cave. So let us evac the cave. Cave and evac, just reversed. All right. So let us get further into the issues of race that I was mentioning that seem to keep cropping up in terms of, in how it relates to sun worship. Of course, we have different colored skin because of the different amounts of pigment, melanin, that we have in our cells. And this means that we are, as white people, we are able to be in sunlight for a shorter period of time and produce more vitamin D than a black person would be able to. So this could explain why for a long period of time, black people pretty much were not in the northern regions. Perhaps they were barred from getting into them by fierce warriors, but if they were to actually go up to those regions, their skin would not be able to provide them enough vitamin D to be healthy and happy. And if white people were to go to a very sunny area, they wouldn't be able to be out in the sun nearly as long as black people. But what we see is that oftentimes black people are claiming the symbol of the sun as their own. Let's think about the Rage Against the Machine song. This is for the people of the sun. Something about, yeah, now you got yourself a gun. This is for the people of the sun. And it's all about the Mexicans, the Mayans, the Aztecs and whatnot. You mean those idiots that perverted a beautiful thing and started sacrificing human souls to the soul because they were saying that they could continue to feed the sun in that way? Sacrificing humans to the sun is one of the most retarded things that people have ever done. It's a very backward way of thinking about things. Apparently, earlier in their history, the Aztecs were sacrificing fruits and flowers to the sun. And, of course, what is it that Jehovah got so mad about? Well, it was that Cain was giving him sacrifices of grain and plants, and that's not what he wanted. He wanted the bloody carcasses that Abel was going to sacrifice to him. This vampiric Jew god, Jehovah, loves to get sacrifices, animal, but particular human sacrifices. Oh, this is what feeds him, that's for sure. And think about how many black people have been pulled into Jehovah worship. Yo, Jay-Z, Hova. You got that play, Raisin in the Sun, right? About the black family and their plight in the city. They're just trying to move on up to the east side. A deluxe apartment in the sky. Raisin in the Sun. Ra is in the sun. Raisin. Ra is in that grape. That's why it becomes the raisin. All right. But if you actually think about this, what race actually resembles the sun in many ways? Well, that would be the white race. Because we have people with red hair, like that, like a burning sunset, a beautiful sunset out there. We have people with eyes like the sky, blue eyes, blonde hair, almost the same golden color as the sun, and the shining skin. And once upon a time, people who looked like me, we're actually building great civilizations in lands that are now occupied by people of much darker complexion. Egypt, for example. Middle America. North America as well. Some of these places in America, before the Indians were there, were settled by people that looked probably a lot like me in terms of hair color, eye color, and skin color. Were white people driven from sunny lands? Did they participate in their own demise through mixing with the people that perhaps they had enslaved or were using for cheap labor? Very interesting. There is a lot to this. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to go over all the different details and nuances of this subject, but just consider that a lot of people within the white pride or Aryan nationalist or whatever type of movements, they will use the Celtic cross. They will use the cross, not with the elongated bottom, but the equidistant cross within a circle. And this is very much a sun sign, and it divides it into four seasons as well. It's a beautiful symbol, and this symbol, the cross, has been around long before the freaking Christians took over our religion. It was not the other way around. It was not that evil sun worshippers came in and polluted Christianity. No, no, no. It is that Christianity is polluted sun worship. It takes all of the beautiful things about our old ancient religions and then puts a Jew god in front of it. I'm going to finish up this little discussion on race by reading some information that is quite popular within Black pride circles. And this is part of the propaganda that is getting the Black supremacist movement rolling. And this is titled, "Melanin Gives Black People Superior Physical, Mental, and Spiritual Ability." Melanin refines the nervous system in such a way that messages from the brain reach other areas of the most rapid of the body most rapidly in Black people, the original people. Right? Because we all came out of Africa. They're the original people. Black infants sit, stand, crawl, and walk sooner than whites, and demonstrate more advanced cognitive skills than their white counterparts because of their abundance of melanin. And people, you can see this being demonstrated every single day, of course. Every single day you will see that Black people demonstrate more advanced cognitive skills than their white counterparts. And this is because of their abundance of melanin. Carol Barnes writes, "Your mental processes, brain power, are controlled by the same chemical that gives Black humans their superior physical athletics, rhythmic dancing abilities." Let me pause for a second. Mr. David Duke actually did an interesting video where he showed that the Olympics, the top 10 like sprinters might have been Black. You look at the top 10 power lifters, they were all white. So this whole myth that Black people have such superior physical abilities is complete bullshit. Just we have different abilities. Moving on, this chemical is melanin. The abundance of melanin in Black humans produces a superior organism, physically, mentally, and spiritually. This is why all the founders of the world's great religions are Black. Melanin is the melanin is the neurochemical basis for what is called soul in Black people. In the same way Blacks excel in athletics, they can excel in all other areas as well. They did in the past, once the roadblocks are removed. Hey, I don't disagree with that. I want to see Black people up their game and stop being so controlled by the Jewish media. Let's start bringing some intelligence to the table, that is for sure, and real creative abilities, not these goddamn rappers. Is God Black? The original man was Black, made in the image of God, his parent, according to sacred books. The brilliant Black mind behind this article wrote scared books instead of sacred, but my white mind obviously must be dyslexic, put it into the correct order there. Children look like their parents. All other races are but diluted variations of the original Black race. Most whites have calcified pineal glands, which thwarts melatonin production, thereby limiting their moral capacity. Wow. Wait, white people don't have morals. We don't have a high moral capacity. It is Black people that have the most high moral capacities. Just look at the crime rates. It will back that up, right? 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 Look at Africa. It will show that, right? Right, guys? Located in the brain, the tiny pineal and pituitary glands regulate the body's other glands. Esoteric tradition regards the area of these glands as the third eye, seat of the soul, and the mystical uraeus represented by the cobra on the forehead of Egyptian royalty crowns. Why did Africans view the European as a child of God, but the Europeans viewed the African as soulless savage? Because of melatonin, described as a mentally and morally stimulating humanizing hormone produced by the pineal gland. Scientific research reveals that the most whites are unable to produce much melatonin because their pineal glands are often calcified and non-functioning. Pineal calcification rates with Africans is 5 to 15%. Asians, 15 to 25%. Europeans, 60 to 80%. You don't even need to cite sources when you're dealing with this kind of information. And you don't need to cite the Jewish poisoning of our populations because it's irrelevant. This is science, people. White people don't have morals because they don't have enough melatonin. Moving on. This is the chemical basis for the cultural differences between blacks and whites, causing some black scholars to raise the question that the European approach, that of the logical, erect, rigid, anti-feeling posture, okay, which could have been due to the conditions in which they are living through very harsh winters, which also increases their intelligence. Moving on. Reflects a left brain orientation, reflects that they lack the chemical key of melatonin to turn on their unconscious and therefore cannot get into feelings. Wow, white people, we can't get into feelings. That's interesting. Carol Barnes writes, melanin is responsible for the existence of civilization, philosophy, religion, truth, justice, and righteousness. Individuals, whites, containing low levels of melanin will behave in a barbaric manner. Just look at what's happening today. You can tell it is white people behaving in a barbaric manner, and this is bringing down civilization, people. Civilization that the black people created. Moving on, melanin gives the humans the ability to feel because it's the absorber of all frequencies of energy. Dr. Welsing writes, since melanin is a superior absorber of all energy, it is essential to establish this understanding of God and all energy. The fact that the albinos, whites, lack melanin may also help to explain why in the view of many non-white peoples, they, whites, there's so many misspellings here, lack spirituality and the capacity to tune into and thereby establish harmony and justice. Almost done with this here. The scientific evidence of melanin threatens the ideology of white supremacy. After considering melanin to be a waste product of body metabolism which served no useful function, Western white science has now discovered that melanin is the chemical key to life in the brain itself. All studies and facts about melanin suggest that after 400 years of attempting to inferiorize the black race, Western science is facing the sobering reality that by its own self-defined standards, black people are probably superior to whites in both intellectual potential and muscle coordination. That's in Sepia magazine interview. The central role melanin plays in the body has been suppressed to maintain the mythological inferiority of blacks and the defensive clinging to whiteness as some token of superiority, Dr. Richard King. The superiority complex of white people is a defense mechanism and a mask, probably what they meant, for their deep-set inferiority complex, which they project onto people of color. Psychologists say insistent denial means reality in the opposite way. This is hard to read. If whites really believed that the white skin was superior, why is tanning so important in white culture despite its known health risks? Also, curling or perming lifeless straight hair. And the lastest, I don't even know what the hell they're saying here. Their black minds are so beyond my level of comprehension. I can't even read it. Okay, so they're saying that perming lifeless hair is how we're trying to get back to being black, I guess. I don't know. Lip injections also is a way for us to try to get back to the black look. No, that's what Jewish celebrities like Angelina Jolie are promoting to us. I'm not saying that she's even Jewish. She might be part Jewish, but she's definitely controlled by the Jews, right? And it is the Jewish media that's trying to get us to do all this crap to get us to be like Snooki or something. Ugh. Yeah, don't go out in the sun. That's bad. Go into a tanning booth. And it is the white female who tells you that her ideal mate is a tall, dark, and handsome man. Dark indeed refers to more melanin. No, it is not the white female that tells you that. It is the Jewish media that tells you that. Messed up melanin is killing melanated people. In their ongoing effort to destroy people of color, whites create designer drugs structured to chemically bind with and alter the melanin molecule, causing it to become toxic and even fatal to highly melanated people. Oh, so whites are creating the drugs, not the Jews in Tel Aviv. Now, Carol Barnes, who documents this subject, writes, melanin can become toxic to the Black Human because it combines with harmful drugs such as cocaine, amphetamines, psychedelic. What the hell are they saying? Hallucinogen, marijuana. The molecules of these drugs resemble the melanin molecule. The body is fooled and its balance is thrown off. It relies on drug-wrecked melanin in order to function. Even legal drugs such as tetracyclines, neuroleptics, which are tranquilizers, have strong affinity to bind to melanin. Herbicides, like Agent Orange, bind irreversibly with melanin and remain in the black human throughout life, causing many disorders. Oh, okay, so Agent Orange isn't going to remain in the white human because Whitey created Agent Orange because Whitey owns Monsanto and not the Jews, right? Right? No. Moving on. And of course, white people don't do any drugs. They're not indoctrinated into the drug culture at very early age. No, not at all, because whites rule over everything. Whites are obviously in control of our society right now. Drug abuse by blacks is more likely to occur because melanin causes blacks to become addicted faster and stay addicted longer from these drugs, which are deliberately placed in black communities. Yes, they are deliberately placed there. That's true. Drugs are destroying the heart of Native American and black society, causing many deaths. So, yes, there are some deaths due to this. But look at the abuse rates in the country. Look at the declining population of white people in this country, and you will see that really we are being targeted, if not the same as, perhaps even more so than black people. And in general, the targeting is going after people of higher intelligence, I think. It's trying to keep us all dumbed down, but they really don't want intelligent white people to be breeding, to be in any position of power or being shown in the spotlight in a favorable manner at all. So, yes, kind of idea that I just read about is so heavily promoted these days on YouTube and all over the place, and a lot of it is complete bullshit. There's some basis in reality, that's for sure, in terms of some of the problems they discuss and the issues of melanin and melatonin. But again, they are so biased and really detrimental to people, because they're giving such a false idea of what reality is. All right, so you know what I'm going to do? I am going to go to another song here, and I'll be on the stream for just a little bit, still live afterward. But I'm going to go into the archives a little bit just to wrap this all up and give some final thoughts. So if you do want to call in, now would be the time to do so. I can even field some calls in the archives if you would like. The number is 347-633-9657. I'll be back in just a little bit. Archives here. I've got somebody calling in, maybe just to listen, but I'll probably bring him on, see if he has anything to say. Additional thoughts, somewhat scattered. The sun is 93 million miles from us. 93 is a very important number. It's a number of Thelema. The reason that that could be said is in English, 9 is I and 3 is C. So it's code saying, I see, you know, I see, I see. When do you see this? See the sun, which is 93 million miles away. 93 is also, I believe, in English, if you add it all up, the value of Saturn. That's a relatively important figure to the occult. I don't know if this is necessarily correct, but I have something here that 2 parts per billion of the sun's total energy output, but this is 10,000 times greater than the total energy presently consumed by the human race. So we receive only 2 parts per billion of the sun's total energy output, but this is 10,000 times greater than the total energy presently consumed by the human race. Tying into this, I have this notion that out in outer space, which we're supposed to think is a big vacuum and empty, there swim in this space a great number of creatures, entities. Perhaps they're light beings. They don't have physical bodies like we were thinking of. But things that derive their energy right from that sun, which is going to power them much more than, say, us here on Earth, where that sun is traveling through all this atmosphere and, you know, we're fairly far from it. So I can only think that if there's this great source of all this energy, there would be a lot of beings around it, not just on the planets, that are using this energy, that are deriving their own life, their own individual being from that great ball in the middle of our solar system. It just makes sense to me. And perhaps when you see that NASA video, commonly known as the Tether Incident, where there are all these life forms, it seems, that are swimming around this tether as they released it onto space, these would be that kind of creature. And perhaps they are able to phase in and out of our visible sight. I've seen some strange things in the sky that seemed not to be UFOs in terms of physical machinery, but rather organic entities in the night sky. I said swimming before because I do think it's something of an ocean out there. Doesn't the book, the Bible, speak about the waters above and below the firmament? So perhaps, yes, there could be waters below the ocean, right? But there could also be waters above our sky as well. I think that's a possibility. Just some more theories to put out. Perhaps the sun has a binary twin. A lot of stars out there in space have another accompanying star. They're binary systems. And perhaps the sun has one. It could be in elliptical orbit. Or it could have had one. Maybe it was destroyed. Somebody posited in the chat room that perhaps once Saturn was a sun. Maybe the sun was different colors in the past. Is it green? Blue? There's no reason it couldn't have been shining in a different wavelength, at least to us here on Earth, in the past. Perhaps it was the atmosphere that was different. And the diffracting caused different light to be seen. Maybe it's a different size. Maybe it's grown. Maybe it's shrunk. What is the sun made of? You see those black spots on it, right? What's that all about? Is it solid even? What if it's not even hot? Okay, that you're gonna be, what is this guy talking about? Okay, well, if you are down on the Earth, on the beach, let's say, it's probably going to be really hot if it's very sunny out, it's the middle of the day, right? Now, if you were to go 30 feet above where you were on the beach, up there in the sky, in the air, it's not going to be as hot, and the reason is because a lot of the heat you're feeling is being radiated from the Earth. So the sun... sun's rays, the waves, only cause heat when it has something to interact with. And that is why, if you say go up in a mountain, it's not going to get hotter, even though you're getting closer to the sun. And you'd think that if you would go out in space, it would be, you know, impossible to even have a ship out there because it'd be too hot. You're getting closer and closer to the sun. I don't think that that the sun is actually the kind of, the burning ball of fire that we've been made to think it is, or at least that it doesn't act in the way that we've been taught by science. I think our scientific data concerning the sun and the Earth is all a bunch of bunk. And a lot of it is intended to get us to see these as just, kind of blah, uninteresting things. Just, they can explain them away. Oh, it's a big ball of hydrogen, and it's a nuclear fission and fusion that's occurring, and so it's not a brilliant, intelligent entity in the middle of our sky. That was the primitive people of the past who thought that. So, what about the afterlife? Where do we go? Do we go to the sun? Well, a lot of people will say, go to the light, go to the light. Is this a false light? Is this light representing the sun? Can you use the sun to be reborn? Is that the purpose of it? To travel to far-off places? Is the idea to actually not go to the light and instead go into the darkness and become the light yourself, to realize that you are shining greatly, brilliantly, and instead of getting consumed and brought back into kind of a collective existence, you can individuate and become a unique star out in the sky, let's say. Unique star out in space. Okay. I have some other points here. Well, of course, people. One of the things that science has really taken away from us, it should just be so intuitive, is that the sun is responsible for so many of the weather changes on our planet. Global warming, come on, it's actually solar system warming. A lot of planets in the solar system are warming up right now. It's because of the sun. Weather patterns on Earth are greatly influenced by what is going on at the sun. And we're made to think that the sun's always kind of doing the same thing. It's not. It changes. It changes its intensity. And this can happen, you know, just with big CMEs, coronal mass ejections. And these have a big effect on what's going on in the Earth. Our electronic systems can be completely disrupted by a big enough CME. And the moon. The moon is able to pull our oceans, right? Even having more moonlight reflected from the sun to the Earth causes weird changes in people. How can we not recognize that the sun itself is going to pull us, is going to influence us, is going to have a very great impact on not only our weather systems, but our own internal systems? And I think that the sun is actually seeking to help us right now, is seeking to guide us through these transitions, to help out, to be there for us, let's say. I've got a few more codes here. Then, as I said, I've got the caller. And since I'm in the archives right now, it's only the caller listening to me. I'm thinking about maybe saving this story for another time. Yeah, I'll deal with that another time. But I'll go on to some of these codes. I mentioned in the previous show that when I and a number of other people get some sunlight into our eyes, sneeze. And this is obviously caused by the sinuses. I don't know what the wiring is that happens, but sinus actually breaks down to sin us. And if you reverse sin us, you get sun is. So the sun affects the sinus. S in us. God bless you is what people say when you sneeze. Interesting, right? I think a lot of our words might have been turned against us, like blight. Blight breaks down to be light. You know, of course, you could play around with SOL, soul, like a solution, solitude, solace, solstice. Prey and ray, corona, which is what surrounds the sun. No, not just the beer, but the coronation of a king, let's say. Coronation of a sun king, as they put the crown, the golden crown, with its rays that emanate from his head on. Also the heart, the coronary. Speaking of the heart, yes, it's an anagram of earth, and also if you combine kind of heart and earth, you get hearth, right? Where that fire is. And right below the heart, you have the solar plexus. Yeah, so there is a spark of soul within all of us. Let us make it burn very brightly. And I'm sure you know about this, how the sun sets and, you know, Horus versus Set and all of that. And Horus is rising on the horizon, and Horus is an anagram for hours, right? But Osiris itself, Osiris, who is Horus's father there, is it breaks down to Osiris. Osiris. And Iris was a messenger goddess, a goddess of rainbows, actually. And Iris is also a very important part of our eye, which lets in the light into the darkness. Then you have the pupil, right? He who learns. He or she who learns. Or the disciple. The disciple. Right? Disciple. Who might discuss the teachings that they have learned. Throw it around like a discus in the sky. Oh, I'm just playing here. And then, you know, discovery, of course. Disc over why. Disc ovary. And you are often referred to as a person, but have you ever considered what a person really means? I ask you to look into your words, to look into your religions, to look into your mythologies that you've been presented with, and to look at what your ancestors might have done on this planet, and take some wisdom from them. And just use your own intuitive sense. How do you feel about the sun? What does it do for you? How can you connect with it in a safe way? You should not do things that are uncomfortable for you. I have often found sun gazing into the sunset to be a very pleasant and calming experience. And empowering. So, use some caution, I'd say, but you know what? Just do what you feel is best for you. And with that being said, I will bring on Francois. Francois, do you have any thoughts?
I had a lot. I don't know if I'm going to have the echoes, but I'll try to. I was mostly listening.
Okay.
If I'm on. I have some thoughts about science.
Okay.
Because, I studied science. I'm in. I have a. It's not a master's degree, but just 1 year. And it's all scientific. So science is not what it's made up to be. It's not huge gizmos. Science comes from logos, which is discussion. So what is they play with the words? Maybe that's something I'll write about. But
okay.
It's like technology. Technology is not the gizmos you have in your hands, and it will if you cut the word, you have techniques. And you have logos. So it's a discussion about techniques. If you're a farmer and you discuss with your neighbor farmer about how to toil the soil, that is technology. If you have a copyright, you don't have technology, because a copyright prevents you from a discussion. You put an ownership on the piece of knowledge. So the logos is cut.
All right. Anything else you have? Well, in particular, related to the sun and how science
I had some that passed to me, but it doesn't come right now for the sun. Yeah, I think the sun is growing. The sun is probably as hollow as the earth. It's not at all what you learn in school. The science you learn in school usually is something, repeat it or else you won't have your degree. But you still learn some ways to look into things for yourself. That won't get you a job, but you'll learn things.
I love how they always use diagrams. Like they know exactly what's going on, whether it's the atom or let's consider the Earth. They always have the kind of this cutaway diagram which shows, you know, the different layers within the Earth all the way down to the core, because they know precisely, right, what goes on, even though they've only drilled just a few miles.
You know? Yeah, you have to go to the source. It's like you say that the sun was green before, but maybe it's green now. In fact, if you see it yellow, it will be every color except yellow.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And could be green. It's just you take a wavelength and you assign another color to it. If because I'm in the mapping, computer mappings, so I have those. You have three layers of satellite photos. You put them together, and you want this color to put out where it's more humid, or where there are forest, water, roads. So you'll play with different wavelength that you assign different colors, and you'll have some things that will come out.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a way to study. You won't say, the Earth is... Here it is purple because I have a purple photo of it.
Francois, I actually wanted to get your take on, well, the Phoenicians. You've mentioned to me before, and probably others in the chat, about how the Phoenicians and their city of Byblos are with phonetics, right? We're taking a lot of our words, our alphabet, from the Phoenicians, and Byblos just means book. And later, they want the book. And I'm just bringing this up as well because the Phoenicians are pretty much breaks down to the Phoenicians, right? Because and merchants, I believe, and also probably some of my ancestors. And they, the phoenix, I think, as their symbol. And it represents this people well. And it's also a symbol that might be over at Nat Protectionism, and which I used for the logo there. And if people check out nationalprotection.com/manifesto, I'm going to be uploading a video. And the logo is the image associated with it, of course, and that's the phoenix. And I think it's a very powerful one, and of course, it is a symbol as well.
But that's something I would have. The only take I have on the Phoenicians is from Homer, where you have one one of the people coming with Achilles, who is named Phoenix. And his wisdom. And if you go in after that in Odyssey, you have the slave of Odysseus' father, Ulysses. His father, Laertes, has a gardener who is a slave. And he counts his story. And it was the Phoenicians who were pirates, who came and traded with his mother, and while they were trading, they had hired a girl to steal the boy. So they stole the boy and they sold him after that to Laertes, Odysseus' father, and they were luring the mother with jewelries. You don't have to go very far to find that it was an allegory of Jews.
Well, I think that a lot of things can be discerned, can be found in the writings of Homer there. Consider the city of Troy. It was destroyed, right? Destroy.
Yep.
Destroy, right there, word.
Yeah, but mostly in English. It wouldn't work exactly like that in French.
Okay, but regardless, I'm guessing that there probably are other things you could find in French that would that could connect you, connect the story, and the tales of old.
When I read it, what transpires is that it's not in the Mediterranean. It's really something that was happening in a much larger scale. And if you take the word when they talk about the Hellespontine, it's not necessarily the Detroit between what they call Greece and Turkey, but it could also be the Channel, which is even much more an Hellespontine because you go from an ocean to an ocean, which is not the case in Turkey. And Paris is the name of, in fact, it's Priam and his son. The one they call Paris, in fact, is Alexandros.
Okay,
and
yeah.
They call him Priam sometimes because he's handsome. That's what Priam means.
Okay. Yeah, Paris. Right, the person who shoots Achilles in the heel, allegedly. Yeah, that is where we get the city name. Paris. And
yeah.
I think that the Trojans, perhaps some of them, the story is that some of them actually were able to make it out and possibly flee up into Europe and restart their civilization somewhat there. While many of their people were there's a place called Trojan women where after they sacked the city of Troy, they're throwing all the babies from the wall, the Trojan wall, killing them all so that they never have to deal with this race of people again.
Yeah, and the son of Hector was called Astyanax. And it has almost the same way to write it as Hastings. I'm pretty sure that when they speak of Troy, they speak of the region between London and Paris. Everything fits in there. They have the river that they don't have in Turkey. And frankly, you wouldn't have huge drakkars just to go a few miles in the Aegean Sea. With these drakkars, the Vikings were traveling the seas. And that's exactly the boats Homer describes.
Yes, that is very interesting. Perhaps the topic of another show. François,
yeah.
This show right here, it's been a long one for me. It was informative for some people and enjoyable. But
hey,
thanks so much for coming and sharing your thoughts.
You're welcome. Anytime you want.
Thanks, Francois. And thank you all out there for listening. I really appreciate you taking the time to consider this material. And I hope you choose to continue listening to Renegade Broadcasting and all of the great shows that we have week after week here. I'm going to go out with a song. Here is Space in the Meantime. Until next time, hello all.